Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Follow us on Twitter at KAR Current State. Housing discrimination is often difficult to even notice, much less prove. Landlords who don't want to rent to someone based on their race, age, religion, disability, or sexual orientation many times have what seem like legitimate excuses that are often delivered with what our next guest calls a smile and a handshake. Pam Kish is the executive director of the Ann Arbor-based Fair Housing Center of Southeast Michigan, which investigates complaints of illegal housing discrimination in six counties, including Ingham. Last fall, the Fair Housing Center was awarded a $275,000 grant by the Department of Housing and Urban Development to reduce housing discrimination. And joining her is Loretta Codrington, an Ann Arbor resident whose experience in the early 90s still highlights how housing discrimination based on race can occur. I began the conversation by asking Pam to clarify just what the law says.
The Federal Fair Housing Act bans discrimination based on race, color, religion, national origin, sex, disability, and familial status, which is a fancy word for families with kids under the age of 18. And then state law adds marital status and age to that list.
Now, what are some of the ways someone actually is discriminated against then? What happens?
Sometimes someone will be told to their face, I'm sorry, we don't rent to kids. We're not set up for kids. We rent to students. They might say, you can't live here if you have a disability. We're not set up. We don't have a ramp. You can't put a ramp in here. It's not going to look good. When it comes to race discrimination, it's much more subtle. We talk about discrimination with a smile and a handshake. People in the housing industry know that they are not allowed to discriminate on the basis of race. And so if that's their plan, they need to do it subtly. And it will sound more like, I'm so sorry, I just rented the last apartment, I lost your application, your credit's not quite good enough. When we know that they were, when we investigate, we find out that the person's credit would have been fine given the standards of that apartment complex.
Loretta, talk to us about what happened in your situation.
Well, we were discriminated against based on race. I mean, directly based on race. And we were really surprised about this because, you know, to us, this was something that happened to our parents or our grandparents, not something that happened in this day and age.
How long ago did this happen?
We actually ended up moving to Ann Arbor. We tried moving to Ann Arbor in 1990, and about 91 or 92 is when we found out that, you know, this situation was happening. I mean, in the 90s, you know, people saying you can't, we don't want to rent to you because you're black, and, you know, we're educated, you know, we're not, I mean, it would have been an asset for them to have us there.
What did they say, though, exactly? Did they say they don't want you because you're black?
No, we didn't hear that specifically. We heard that on a tape. We actually, it was myself, I was looking for a place to rent because we were moving from Ypsilanti to Ann Arbor. And I went into the very first place that I went to. There was a young man there who took me around the place. It was a three-bedroom apartment, three-bedroom house, very, very nice. And he took me around the place and let me see it. And, you know, I was really thrilled about it and what have you. And then when we finished the tour, he looks at me and he says, Loretta, if you want this place, you can have it. And I'm like, is this guy crazy? What is he thinking? You know, I'm okay, that's kind of good, but you know, it doesn't feel right. What are you talking about? And he said, I just want to let you know that our landlord told us that she did not want to rent to black people. And then my mouth dropped. And he went on to say that we don't feel like that because this is a white guy telling me, a black woman, that his landlord doesn't want to rent to blacks. And so I'm like, what is a gimmick? You know, this sort of thing. Until finally he says, you know, I feel terrible about this because I actually have neighbors who are black. Our kids go play with them, you know, so for her to think that I think like her is appalling. And so he gave me the number for Fair Housing Center, and he told me, give them a call and let them know if you want, you know, let them know what happened. And truly, if you want this house, you can get it. Fair Housing will get it for you, this sort of thing. So I left the tour, and as I was driving, I had to pull over to the side of the road, and I just bawled because my thought was, again, how could this happen to me? I'm educated. I did all the right things. Why would this person, I haven't even met her, why would she think like that towards me, towards my race? What did I do or somebody do personally? And then I went, then I eventually drove home and told my husband about it. And we let it go. We let the matter go because my thought was, same like my husband, why would we want to rent from a woman who feels like that?
Pam, walk us through what you did in Loretta's situation, please.
Loretta contacted us. We had also been in contact with he was the current tenant that had shown them around. And we took a complaint from her, and we advised her. We said, if you want the house, go back and meet with the landlord and offer her a deposit. So they met with her directly. They offered her the deposit. She said, I'm really sorry, I'm not going to rent to a family of five. The Codringtons, Loretta and her husband had three children at the time. So we did what we call testing. We had a white tester posing as married with three children, a white woman, contact the landlord, meet with her, offer a deposit for the house, and the landlord accepted her as a tenant. Of course, she didn't move in, but... we were able to show that her, of course she wasn't going to say to their face, she knows it's illegal to say I'm not renting to a black family. So she made up another reason, I'm not renting to a family of five, until we brought a white woman posing as a woman with a family, with five people in her family.
Is that still how you pursue cases where you feel race is a factor in discrimination? With the tester, I mean?
Testing is really the only way to uncover illegal housing discrimination when it comes to race, national origin.
And what was the final outcome, Pam?
After we had the evidence of discrimination based on race, we met with the Codringtons, and they decided that they wanted to file a lawsuit in federal court. So we found them attorneys in private practice. They filed a lawsuit, and the case settled for $15,000.
We're talking about fair housing in Michigan with Pam Kish, the executive director of the Fair Housing Center of Southeastern Michigan, which covers Ingham County, along with Loretta Codrington, an Ann Arbor resident who's experienced housing discrimination firsthand. How common is any form of illegal housing discrimination in Michigan, Pam?
I can only go by national statistics. Every 10 years, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development does a study, and I think it's still around 40 to 50% of the time an African-American family or a Latino family goes to look for housing either in the rental or the sales market. They're more likely to be discriminated against, obviously, when compared to a white family.
Loretta, looking back on this from 20 years into the future, how do you feel about the way this was resolved?
Well, I feel very good. The Fair Housing Center came alongside us. They educated us on what it was we needed to do. Because like I mentioned, my husband and I had given the situation away, and we were thinking we did not in any way want to go and have to deal with this, this woman or this situation.
What changed your mind, Loretta?
Well, because Fair Housing Center was very, very cooperative and helpful and explained to us. The thing that changed our mind is, and this is how naive I was about it, she said, you guys don't have to live there. And so I was like, oh, okay, great, then we can go ahead and pursue this, but I don't want to have to live under this lady's roof. And Pam told us, no, you don't have to live there, but this is what we're going to do. And so they told us about testing. We went back, like Pam said, we went back, and I actually met this woman. I saw her face to face. My husband and I were there, and we met her, and we took money. We had cash money that we took to say, hey, we're ready to rent this house right now. We knew, and the young man that was renting the house previously knew that it was a setup. That was our goal. Our goal was to get her to admit to us or get her to, to refuse us, and she did. She refused us. Even the money that we had, we were like, oh, wow, this is exciting. We're ready to rent it right now. Mm-hmm. We have the deposit. And she said, no, I have some other people that we're looking at. And she called us later and told us that we had too many kids, that the kids would be hard on the appliances. And there was nothing else that we can do but say okay and let it go.
Pam, you've been at this for more than 20 years. In general, how big a problem is illegal housing discrimination here in Michigan?
I think it's a huge problem in Michigan and everywhere. There's nothing unique about Michigan. I think the complaints that we get in our office, about 150, 160 a year, is the tip of the iceberg. Mm. Again, most discrimination is, I'm so sorry, I just rented the last apartment. Most people walk away and have no idea they'd been the victim of discrimination. And I wanted to follow up on what Loretta was saying. Nobody wants to live in a place where they've been the victim of discrimination. And I'm sure one of the things we said to the Codringtons was, if you pursue this, not only does it help you because you're being compensated for your loss of civil rights, but it sends a message to the community, to the rest of people who might be renting a place out and think, gee, you know, I better educate myself about fair housing. I better be careful who I hire. I better follow the rules, because if I don't, it's gonna become public. A lot of people have, you know, sort of their private feelings about race and national origin, and as long as they can get away with it, they will. But once it's in the front page of the newspaper, they may be more apt to do the right thing.
How many cases has your organization handled over the years?
We've handled thousands, over 3,000 complaints, and we've helped people file over 70 lawsuits.
What is the source of most discrimination in 2013? Is it race?
The most common complaint we get now is discrimination based on physical disability.
How many in Ingham County?
I'd say we get about 15% of the complaints we get, so maybe 20 to 25 a year. We've only been covering Ingham County for a few years, and we don't have an office here.
Looking back on this whole thing, Loretta, how has going through this, how has this affected you?
Well, you know, I have a huge respect for the Fair Housing Center and the work that Pam and the others do. We totally were blown away by how they were able to help us to understand this process. When I first started, my thought was, my concern, I guess, was that, okay, they're educating us, but the bad folks are being educated too. Okay, and so what is that going to do to the people who are being educated? Because the woman who discriminated against us, you know, she got a slap on the wrist, $15,000. You know, I don't know, maybe that was a whole lot of money for her or what have you, but she ended up renting to a white couple anyway, you know, so it didn't deter anything for her. It just, to me, in my estimation, it just made her smarter about doing that. But like Pam said, there are still lots and lots of cases where people think that they can do this and get away with it and not understand that, you know, this affects, you know, the whole community.
So, Pam, you're saying that the smile, the handshake, the sympathetic tone of voice works an awful lot of the time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who does your legal work?
We have a list of attorneys in private practice, and we're handing them a winning case. It's all been investigated, and we just say to them, you take it from here.
Why are fair housing organizations important? I mean, can't the same work be done by HUD or local government, let's say?
Private fair housing centers like ours are the only organizations that do fair housing testing. HUD can do investigations, but they do not do testing, and very few cities, municipalities have a testing program. It's really up to the private fair housing centers in this country to do the testing. And there, again, really is no other way to uncover race discrimination, discrimination based on national origin, some familial status discrimination, unless you do paired testing.
And how does the law work with regard to housing discrimination against the LGBT population?
Some cities have local ordinances that say that you can't discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. We also use sex discrimination and marital status discrimination under state and federal law, and that will sometimes help us with someone who's being discriminated against because they're two men looking for a place to live together.
And your organization's received $275,000. What will you do with that money?
We've made a commitment to take about 150, 60 complaints. We're going to do a lot of paired testing. Some of the testing is going to be in relation to complaints. Some of it is going to be what we call survey testing. We're going to do a lot of advocacy on behalf of people with disabilities. Person uses a wheelchair. They need their own parking space right in front of the apartment complex door because they can't park just anywhere and slush through the snow. And we'll write a letter to the owner saying this person needs their own reserved parking space. This person needs a ramp. This person needs rules can be bent. Someone gets Social Security. They can't work because they have a disability. They get their Social Security on the third day of the month, and they're charged a late fee.
Is accessibility the landlord's responsibility?
If the property has federal funding, then it's the landlord's responsibility to put in a ramp or make things accessible. For the most part, no. It's the tenant's responsibility to pay for a reasonable modification.
Loretta, I'm curious. Have you had occasion to meet many other people who have been discriminated against?
After our case was resolved, I served on the board of Fair Housing Center. So, yes, I did meet quite a few people who were also discriminated against in various capacities. And the story is the same. I mean, in terms of the shock that people are still being treated like this in the U.S. and, you know, and the fact that the Fair Housing Center is here to help people who don't know and educate people who don't know.
Well, Loretta Codrington is an Ann Arbor resident who's experienced housing discrimination firsthand. We've also been joined by Pam Kish, Executive Director of the Fair Housing Center of Southeastern Michigan, which covers Ingham County. Pam, Loretta, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.